Amen. Good morning. How are you doing? Doing good? I guess you didn't answer, but all right. If you would grab your Bible, open with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the life of Elijah and studying some of the things that the Lord has shown him. And today we will see that the Lord continues to prepare Elijah or to teach him. And here's the thing is that throughout life, we will come into situations that teach us, they show us, they lead us to understand more about God and His mighty hand. And so, as we'll see in today's passage, it is no different. The Lord continues to make Himself known to Elijah and to this widow. To kind of catch you up where we are at, the kingdom of Israel is divided. You have the northern kingdom, which is made up of 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, which is made up of 2. We are focusing in on the northern kingdom here. They have had several kings that have led them away from the Lord, and this king is no different. He has set up worship to false gods, specifically Baal and Asherah, marrying a lady who her dad is a ruling priest and a priest of Baal. And so he has set these things up. And so God is sending Elijah to bring about a message, to share with them, and even using him to usher in some things that would help them to understand that these are false gods. And so we see that God has already shown Elijah and led him to a place of complete dependence upon him. He led Elijah to go to this place by himself and even fed him supernaturally through birds And so it's led him to be completely dependent on him. Then he came to him and told him to go to the heart of Baal worship. And so Elijah was obedient to the Lord and followed him there. He had prepared a widow who would take care of him. We see that she did that as she gave him something to eat, even though she had only just a little bit left, and how the Lord supernaturally, miraculously, has continued to fill up and to where the flour and the oil never has not run out. And so the Lord is continuing to be able to take care of him. Today, we will see a new lesson. And this lesson will be centered around death and resurrection. Death is something that we all experience in this life. It is something that even yesterday, as I preached a funeral, that I'm constantly reminded of how fragile life is and that it's just temporary. We're here for a mist or a vapor, the Bible says. The Bible even tells us to number our days. He says it's wise that we do that. So we must then understand that I'm not going to be here forever. And not only that, my family members or my friends or the people in our community will all stand before God. And so it's good that we have this reality and that we think of these things. And so, in the passage that we read today, death comes. And I want you to see the response of not only Elijah, but also the widow, and the response to this event that has happened. And my prayer is that we will learn from it, that we'll see that God is our hope, and we will run to Him when times come. So if you are able to, and don't mind joining me, as just in honor of God's Word, standing with me as we begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 17, we will start in verse 17. After this, the son of the woman, this is the widow that has taken care of Elijah, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, you have brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son." Then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. God, we thank you for this powerful testimony of your goodness, of your power. And I pray, Father, that we would run to you just like Elijah did here, that we would trust you, that we would believe that you can do all things, and that our prayers would reflect that. And so, God, we just ask that you would speak to us today, help us to learn and to leave here changed because of your word. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here, tragedy has struck as this woman has lost her son. He has died. And now I can't even imagine what some of you have experienced in the loss of a child or a loved one. Even some of you, as I look out here, have lost spouses, and the burden and the pain of that, I can't imagine. But even in the midst of these losses, we have a God who has given us hope. We have a God who has not left us on our own, and testimony after testimony of some of you who have experienced the grace of God to comfort and to empower, oh, it speaks volumes. And so share, proclaim who God has been and how you have experienced that, because it all points to his goodness. Now, at the same time, I know that there are some here who hurt, and the hurt is very real. And so today, as I talk about these things, I in no way want to overlook that. Loss is very real. But the hope is that we have a God that even in the midst of the hardest things that we'll face in this life is right there with us. Amen? And not only is he with us, he has promised us something far greater than this world. You see, even as this boy was raised from the dead, he still died a physical death later. And as good as these times of even some of your loss, if you could have them back, I mean, there's still going to be physical death. And so one of the things that I want to point to, as we'll look at even today, is that we'll look at there is a spiritual life that God has called us to that is eternal. It is far greater than a physical resurrection. There is a spiritual resurrection that is for eternity. Amen? And I want to tell you, there is a miraculous thing that happens in that. And that just like Chris stood before us to proclaim what God has happened in his life, I want to challenge you to think about your own. Have you been brought from death to life? And if so, how good that is that you would rejoice and praise God, but wouldn't you want others to experience that same life that you have? Oh, that we are quick to share of the good news of Jesus Christ. In our small group this morning, a story was shared of a parent or parents that had lost their firstborn, and how that grief during that time of losing their firstborn led them to look to the Lord, and how ultimately it brought them into this relationship with him and furthered that. This is a story that we'll see even of this widow here, is that death here and her response immediately went to Elijah and says, what have you done that you would come, that then I would, my son would be taken from me? You see, for her, there was this knowledge of God, because even when she first met Elijah, she called out and she said, the God whom you serve. So there was this knowledge of God, and maybe even this knowledge that he was a prophet, maybe because of what he wore or the way in which he talked. But you see, that was just head knowledge. And I think that it is possible for some of us to have some head knowledge of God. Maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you've been coming for a long time. Maybe you have some knowledge of the things of God. You know that Jesus came and he died on the cross, all of the right things. But I want to remind us, even the demons know that, right? So it has to go further than just having some head knowledge. What we'll see here is there is this call where Jesus comes and he says, no, I have come that you would have life. There is this call that he would take us who are spiritually dead and bring about life to us. And so, yes, this resurrection that was experienced here in Elijah was supernatural. It was amazing. But there is also this resurrection that he is calling us to, that we would be buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, but raised. Raised with Christ. Resurrected with Him to new life. That we would be a new creation. Amen? Oh, you know, and when we have that, transformation happens. The Holy Spirit is placed in our life, and we have power over sin. We're no longer a slave to sin. We have power to choose to follow Christ and to be used by Him. We have power to do things that we otherwise would never be able to do, all because of who God is. We must trust Him and see Him as that. And so the widow comes to Elijah. You see, she is immediately brought closer to God because of this. She's like, what has happened? There's all these questions of why has this happened? And immediately she points to, this must be because of sin in my life. So she is reminded of sin. You see, this happens in many situations of life where we are brought into the presence of God. And when we are brought into the presence of God, we see ourselves for who we really are. We'll see sin, or we'll see maybe even a lack of trust or dependence or faith in God. And in that, we need to understand that these are times of Him teaching us or Him bringing us closer to Him that we would trust Him. And so, be teachable. Listen, ask questions. Lord, what are you trying to show me here? And so this widow got it wrong, right? Her son hasn't died because of her sin. But she was right in a way, because we have death because of sin. Right? And so, to help us understand that a little bit, I want us to see throughout the Bible, death is definitely, we see, a result of sin, meaning that death entered in because of sin. And not only that, I think that we see that Bible presents death as separation. So, we see physical death as separation of the soul from the body. When you die, breathe your last breath on this earth, your soul will continue to live on. But then spiritual death is the separation from the soul from God. When Adam sinned in the garden, immediately you see this separation and the result of the fall of man. He hid himself from the presence of God and ultimately was even cast out. And at that point, death entered in. God even told him that. You will surely die. Now, this is something that the enemy has tried to get us to question. Oh, you will not surely die, right? He came to him. But this is the result of sin. We see this in our world, and I want to remind you, when you experience the wickedness of man, whether it's hurt or what people say about you, or even maybe the looks that they give, whatever it is, when you experience the wickedness of this world, be reminded, we have a God who has conquered the world. And not only that, be reminded of the fall. All of us are separated from God. We see the evidence of this. Look at our world and all of the filth that is there. For so long, things that have been said were wrong are now said to be right. So many things were said to be right are now said wrong. We see this flip-flop of all the things in our world. We see it in our own lives of how our natures are drawn towards sin and selfishness and pride. We see the separation and the evidence of it all around. All that is because of our sin. So death has entered in, and the whole world is subject to death because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And just as sin entered into the world by one man, listen to what Romans 5:12 says. By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death entered in, and now death comes to all of us, every one of us. And I hope to not be the first person to tell you this, but one out of one of us are going to die, right? Every one of us are going to breathe our last breath. And it is wise then that we think about that. And I'm not trying to be morbid here today, but it is wise. Because if one day I'm going to breathe my last breath and I'm going to stand before God, I should think about that. Because He is a holy God. Holy, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty. We will stand before Him. The widow was reminded of her sin. And so many times things happen that bring us into the presence of God. And this event, this moment, brought her into the presence of God. And we must examine ourselves. Every time I preach a funeral, I always challenge us all, those who are grieved, everyone, to think about and examine ourselves, because you can't help but think about your own death when you go to the funeral, to a funeral. And so yesterday, as I preached the funeral, this is what I did. I think about it. You are going to stand before God one day, every one of us. But now look at Elijah's faith. Elijah's faith is amazing. Think about this. We do not see evidence in the Old Testament up to this point of anyone asking God to raise the dead. Someone who has just died, we've not seen anybody. We've not seen this happen. So for Elijah to come before the Lord and to have the faith to ask God to bring life back into this dead body, that was a supernatural faith, right? And I just want to challenge us. Man, what a great lesson on prayer, that we are to come before God and we are to ask him to do things that only he can do. I mean, so many times, think about it, in our prayers, it's like we give God an out just in case he decides not to do it. God doesn't need an out. He is all powerful. You ask him to do what only he can do. You pray according to the word of God. We know that he wants to bring life, spiritual life, to those who are spiritually dead. Ask him, seek him, fervently pray those. We see in James where James is talking about how Elijah has a nature like us and how he prayed, and he prayed in such a way that God heard him. It says in James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. We see that Elijah had a faith to come and to ask God to do things that only God can do. Do you pray that way? Do you pray? Do you pray for God to do things in such a way? Now, listen, there is, even last week, we kind of talked a little bit about the sovereignty of God, and I don't think that there's too much disagreement on God being sovereign, but to the level of the sovereignty, there is much discussion, right? Does he know everything? And the temptation is to believe that God is so sovereign that I don't have to ask him for everything. We can look at the Bible and see where time after time, men come with great faith and asked him to do things, and God heard them. It says here, God heard Elijah. So he revived the boy. God hears you. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. God hears you fervently, with great faith, go to God and ask him to do things that only he can do. There are times when I think we see here with the widow where, again, she had a knowledge maybe of the things of God, but I don't think she had yet began walking with God and believed him to be her God. But something changed at this, right? After the boy was raised, she said, no, the words on your mouth are truth. The words of your Lord are truth. Something changed. And I would say that there are times in our own lives when we are walking with the Lord that his closeness is revealed to us. His power, we're reminded of it. We're reminded, whether it's an answered prayer. I had a friend just recently who had prayed for his dad since he had given his life to the Lord, many years. And thinking that his dad, and I met with his dad several times because he had had cancer and he wanted to talk about things, and we talked, and man, just a hardness of heart. But the Lord came at one time, sent someone to him, the conversation was just right, and the Lord opened his heart, answered my friend's prayer. He got to baptize his own dad. Pretty amazing. I'd say that so many times we give up or we give God an out. Fervently seek the Lord. Trust him. Around the year, I believe it was 2012, I was leading a team of students to Mexico. I really thought that only 5 or 6 would go, and 16 end up signing up to go. And we began to pray because, and the Lord provided in supernatural ways, because how in the world do you get 16 students to raise all the money from a kind of a lower income area to go? I mean, the trip was pretty expensive, and yet God supernaturally showed up. And in preparation, the Lord just kept on my heart and my time before him. I just kept asking him, Lord, do things on this trip that can only be explained by you. And specific things would come to mind, and I would just pray for that people would come to know him, or that even just miraculous things would happen. And I remember it was that same trip, that a story that I've shared before. We were supposed to go one place, but things changed. And so one guy just said, hey, what about this drug rehab? And we end up going there and asking, and they said perfect timing. There was a painting on the wall man of Jesus. It was beautiful, and so we shared the gospel. 40 or 50 men gave their lives to the Lord, and man, we are worshiping the Lord. And this guy steps forward, and he says, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord told me that if I painted that painting, then someone would come and tell us about Jesus. He said, I finished that painting yesterday, and you guys are here today. And man, when I heard that, not only was I, Lord, you did it. This can only be explained by you. That you would lead a group of students all the way from Oklahoma to come to Mexico for the answer of a prayer of a guy you've already spoke to a couple of weeks before, and then even take us from our plan and bring us onto your plan. I mean, I was broken because I was like, how many times am I unwilling to listen to the Lord to do what he's called me to do? Man, I was broken. And so I was already worshiping for answering the prayer of doing what could only be explained by him. We went to this plaza area, just kind of park area. I'm teamed up with a couple of high school girls as we're going out talking to people, and the translator invited us over and said, hey, this woman wants you to pray for her. She's been bleeding for a long time, doesn't know if she needs to go to the hospital. So I reminded her of the story of a lady in the Bible that reaches out to touch Jesus. She had been bleeding for a long time, and I just asked her, I said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? She said, yes, I do, and all through the translator. And so I told her that one of the high school girls was going to pray for her, and so she started praying. Well, this lady started yelling, and I didn't know if it was a demon or what. I mean, she is yelling and crying, and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, you cover her with your healing blood. I'm just kind of praying under my breath as this high school girl is praying. And after we're done, the translator is telling us what is going on, and she is saying, stop, quit praying, get away. Now, we couldn't understand her, so we just kept praying, right? But she's saying, stop, get away, quit praying. She said that as we were praying, she said it felt like her skin was on fire, so she was saying, stop, get away. But she said, as we were praying, she said it felt like warm water was being poured on her head. And I'd never prayed, Lord, cover her with your healing blood. But in that moment, again, there was just this closeness that the Lord reminded me of. I'm right here. Ask. Seek me. Depend upon me. And I wish I could tell you that, man, the miraculous happens to me every day, right? No. But I just want to remind you, it's times like this and in this widow's life where the Lord reminds Elijah and her, teaching them, trust me, call to me, I'm right here with you. And it's the same for us. In our lesson, in our small group this morning, it was about the power of the Holy Spirit and him working in people's lives. And man, such an amazing story of us getting to trust that God has this thing rigged, right? He is at work all around us, and he is just waiting for us to surrender to him enough to be used, to be led by the Spirit, to lead us to people he's already at work in. Chris, that just got baptized, he was in Pawhuska, and talking to a pastor led him to the Lord, called me and said, hey, would you have lunch with Chris? He wants to be baptized. I mean, God had done it all. I just got to eat lunch with the guy, and then I got to experience the baptism. You know, I'm just saying, God is at work all around us. And sometimes I think we feel the weight of it all on us. And trust him. Walk with him. He's going to lead you and use you. But too often, we pull ourselves out. We bench ourselves because we can only see our flaws. We only see our weakness. Did you not just think that sometimes that's just where God wants us to live at? You're weak. You're weak. And so because you're weak, rely on him. You're dead. You've died with Christ. Now, we just get to let Christ live in us. And so we do the things that Christ would do. So we love people supernaturally. Oh, I want to be known as a lover of sinners like Christ was. You know what? That's my goal in life. I want people to know that I love sinners. I don't care where you're at, what kind of walk you're in or lifestyle you're living. I just want people to know that I love them because that's how Christ lived and that's what I saw in him. I want people to know that when I speak, that it's uplifting and that it is. So when I have conversations with people, I try to just it be gracious and loving and lift up. Because that's just what I see Jesus. I want people to know that when they encounter me, that the Jesus within me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus' Spirit is in me, and therefore that's who they're going to encounter, right? Because I know me. I'm weak. I know me. And I think it's all of us, we naturally just default to selfishness, right? It's only when we allow the Spirit in us to say, no, no, no. Here I am. Okay, Spirit, you live through me. I don't know what to do here, but I believe you, and I trust you, and I need you. That's the only way I can be a good father. Spirit, I need you. I'm weak. Lord, I'm getting ready to walk into a house of 5 kids now. And so because of that, these kids need someone, not who's selfish, and who wants to go sit down and do nothing, but my work starts when I pull in the driveway, right? It's not done. And so, oh, Jesus, I need you, right? I need him to be a good husband. Oh, Jesus, I've got a wife who needs someone, a helpmate, who's going to be willing to be there and walk alongside, and encourage, forgive. And I need Jesus to do that, because otherwise I'm going to be selfish and I'm going to point out all the things that she should be doing, right? Oh, she should be doing. So here we see this call to life. Yes, today is sanctity of life, but God is about life and he is about bringing life. And this is why he has given us this message. It's good news. It's all about you are dead spiritually, but you can become alive. And that is alive supernaturally. When we think of this new creation that he has called us to, I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he talks about how we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. It's this new creation he has called us to, and that is supernatural. That is why if you're here and you have some knowledge about God, but you're not a new creation, you may not know God. Because he's called us to new, and that means a supernatural thing that he does us. He kills off that old man, that old woman, and he brings life in us, and it looks like Jesus. And so, have you become new? Oh, just listen, I know we live in a culture of vast knowledge of the things of God, but I want to tell you, have you been brought to life? Are you allowing Jesus to live in you? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? The old, we are a new creation, but the old has been crucified. That means our old self is dead. Now, it doesn't mean that the old self doesn't still rear its head and that nature isn't still there fighting. Like, we're not going to be perfect, but he is all the time becoming us, in a process of becoming, leading us to be more and more like Jesus. So be moldable, be ready, allow him to lead you to become more like him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul begins to talk about this idea of resurrection and how not only is resurrection possible, but resurrection is the message. Like, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then our faith is futile, right? And so it's all about, is it possible that Jesus rose from the dead and is the God who he says that he is? More than that, that you and I would also be raised one day. In Romans 6, it says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. You and I, we are no longer enslaved to sin. We've been set free, right? And I love how in a conversation that John has with the mourning sisters, right? Martha and Mary, they've just lost Lazarus. And he approaches them and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says that. He tells them, he encourages them, hey, your brother will live. But he gives them the hope. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. But the one who lives, believing in me, will never die. And then he asked the sister, the same question that I ask almost every funeral I preach is, do you believe this? Not, do you believe this? Like, did you believe this at a certain time? But are you believing this? Are you actively, daily, moment by moment, believing that Jesus is how you have life? The one who lives believing this. Oh, you see, we're called to life. Elijah and the widow experienced the power of God, but we experience the power of God all the time. And this miraculous power to bring death to life, he wants us to experience it today. You saw Chris stand before us and proclaim, I have been brought from death to life. Have you? Have you been brought from death to life? Have you trusted in Jesus and what he has done upon the cross? You see, death entered in by the sin of Adam. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and one day you'll stand before God, a sinner. But he loved you so much, he sent Jesus to come and to die on the cross as a perfect sacrifice. And he tells us that if we would believe in him and what he has done, and that he rose from the dead, that we would be saved, that we would be forgiven of our sin, and that we would have eternal life, that we would no longer be dead spiritually, but now we would be able to walk with God and have a relationship with him. Would you trust him today? Would you be willing, if you know him, would you be willing to allow him to use you to share that message with others? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we bow before you, and we are so thankful that you are a mighty God. We thank you for the power that we saw in this story today to bring life to a dead body. But God, we praise you for how you bring life spiritually to ours. And so God, I pray that today would be a day of salvation. Lord, as we encounter storms and loss in this world, I pray that we would run to you. Lord, help us to have a belief and a faith that you can do all things. And Lord, I pray that our prayers would reflect that. God, we need you. We are weak without you. Lead and guide us today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.